Welcome back to Transform Together's podcast.
We're
We
here
have,
together. Yeah.
yes, we're here together. Leslie and I are here together. I wanted to sort of follow up on our conversation about lessons learned during the pandemic, right?
I think we ended up with more things to say. We just sort of touched on it a bit, and the more we got into it, the more things kind of bubbled up.
That's right. And one of the things that I marveled at is people's creativity. And in fact, I got to watch you work and creativity during the pandemic. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about that because I remember one time during the pandemic, you were actually offered to your clients an opportunity for their kids to come online and do some of their work and be sort of in a virtual peer roundtable as part of your services. And I thought, first of all, I thought, oh, wow, saint to even offer, but how tremendously creative it was for you to offer that service. So I was wondering if you could talk to me about your experience putting that together and how that idea even came to you to do.
I think it goes back to what were the values we were trying to enact in our own house at the time. So we had three kids at three different levels of schooling, three different types of schooling experiences. And what were we really focusing on with them? And so it was doing a little bit of different things every day. So they should be reading a little bit every day. Doing some math somehow every day, and trying to connect with other people every day. And then, of course, all the video games and all that was also, of course, a major challenge. But that idea that can you connect with somebody, even if it's because you're both going to work on your own math, right? Like it doesn't have to be the same math, or you're going to read and the other person's going to read. And then you'll say at the end, well, I read 10 pages. How about you? And I've seen this come up since then. The idea of the quiet book club. Everybody gets together, but all they do is read together. And then afterwards, high five. Yeah, you read a chapter. But the value of being together. So one of the things that was interesting about that was I tried to break them up into little breakout rooms for what they were doing similarly or who they wanted to be. So there was, some of the kids knew each other, so that worked out well. Some of them didn't. So then we would also organize it by what type of thing they were doing. And I think the benefit ultimately was to parents, because for 20 minutes or however long their kids stayed on, they knew they were connecting with other people, and maybe they were getting some of their work done, or maybe they weren't. But fundamentally, there was some other people there that they could connect with. Was a huge motivator, I think, for some of my clients. I think that morphed into, especially the educational consulting clients, working outside. I think in the last podcast I referenced an example, but other ones like. There were clients where I would go and take the student out for a walk. That was what I would do. So instead of an hour of tutoring, it was an hour of walking. And then what did we do in that walk that was connected to what they had, whatever task they had related to online school? And then we could say, like, we did those concepts. We just didn't do them on the paper and we didn't do them on the screen, right? We came up with other ways. And the other thing that really struck me about those walks was the value of the little library. I don't know if everyone's had that experience of a neighborhood little library, but I had one student for whom it was profoundly essential that every time we went for a walk, we checked that little library and we brought a book. And like the caring and the tending of that little library was a profound outlet for one of my clients. And I will always be appreciative for getting to watch that. It never occurred to me it could be so, such an outlet for your care. It always seems like, well, you take a book, right? And then you receive the care of someone else. But actually that ability to care by leaving a book or remembering to bring a book, all those steps. Yeah, creativity was really essential. And openness, right?
Yes.
Remembering that we're all making it up. The teachers were making it up. The school boards were making it up. Parents were making it up. All the grown-ups were making it up to the best of their ability. And so kids, I think, kind of clued in more than they normally do that the grown-ups are really just making it up. And
yeah.
So then inviting them in to say, okay, if we're all really just making it up, then what do you think? And so one of my own kids really took that time to spend a lot more time doing music. You know, well, I think that math and music have a lot in common. So I think that if I don't do math every day, it's not a big deal if I do extra music every day. Well, what parent is going to say no to that?
Right?
You need to practice your instruments more? Great. Without me bothering you? Amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. So encouraging that openness and curiosity and asking, well, what could you do? And that one kid in particular ended up having so much uninterrupted time that they would put a whole album on and just try and figure out how to drum the whole album. Like, when are they ever going to have time for that ever again? So there was really unique. And each one of my own kids I could see had a moment or an experience like that where, to a degree, left to their own devices, something magical happened for each one of them that would probably not have happened if we had been very strict and not creative in our response.
Well, I love that you discovered that about those moments. Certainly I witnessed that too with my son, one of my kids. He, in the pandemic period, really discovered that he could write. And thank goodness, because this is a kid who decided early on that, you know, my kid, school was not for him. It was for everyone else. And so when he found out that he could write, and not only write and put a thought together, but write well and express himself through writing, that rather than actually verbally expressing, I think that was the game changer for him. And I think that is part of why he led himself to music and creating his own beats and writing his own music, his own poetry, all of those things, which has been a saving grace for him through hard times. So I don't think he would have discovered that, because he would have been swept up in being part of the football team and having friends, and it's not cool to write. Well, now he knows that actually that's one of his superpowers. So I appreciate you witnessing that in your kids too.
I wonder too about our own creativity. I think for some people, there's a connection there between creativity and self-expression, right? Or difficult times, and then sort of self-reflection and processing and self-reflection. And it makes me think of that writing story that you just told, right? The purpose of the creativity, right? There was actually really meaningful. What do you recall from your own creative journey during that time?
You mean professionally or personally?
Well, I know that you have creative outlets already.
Yes, right? I do.
And then do you have some context for how the pandemic maybe shaped those things that you already were doing?
Ooh, well, okay. Yeah. So, okay. In the last podcast, I mentioned like I had time for self-reflection. So I was able to get clear on my own little story and was able to take time to actually write the story. But what was great about that self-reflection and the creativity to write my own story was not so much that I could make up facts, but that I could see my story not as a tragedy, you know, and full of pain, but as lessons other people could learn from. And so when it came time to then use parts of my story to share with the world so they understand what kind of counselor, communicator, facilitator I am, I already had an idea of what that story would be and was able to put some pieces together very easily, very quickly, because I knew who I was. I knew exactly what my essence was, and I wasn't afraid of it anymore. So that both professionally and personally benefited as well. But also, on the creative side, I really like to sing, and I had to, like everybody else, learn how to do music lessons online, which, can I just say, sucks, but still was good in the sense that I had to really get used to listening to my voice on, like, on a microphone and hear playbacks even of it. It's harder to listen and hear through the computer, but to hear notes properly and to understand the intonations and nuances that my teachers were trying to teach me, and that ultimately made me a better has made me a better vocalist. I'm quicker now to learn pieces and songs because of that experience, breaking it down. So when I'm about to, like, perform a song or just want to understand how it is I'm putting it together, now I'll actually record it, which before I would never do because I don't want to hear my voice. So that creative outlet was not only a saving grace because I love music and it really helps to calm me down. It's one of the few activities that I can do, and I can only think about it, which, as mothers, we all understand multitasking and multi-braining at the same time. It was a good outlet, and I learned through the pandemic how to do it differently.
From my perspective, I sort of leaned on the idea that I couldn't focus myself to read very much. And this is still true. This is one of the
Oh.
post-pandemic experiences that I have where I can't
Okay.
quite settle in to read the way that I used to read. Like, maybe on a holiday, sure, but, like, in the
Yeah.
midst of my regular world. And it was true during the pandemic and all the time in the world, and I really still couldn't focus enough to read.
Right.
So what I really benefited from was the miracle of poetry, listening to it be read, and then having that be a springboard and reading it more myself. So a lot more listening to spoken word, right?
Right.
That I could connect more on a sort of creative level or a soulful type level with that type of creative engagement. And
Oh,
the other
that's
thing it
good.
makes me think is that having a memory where we had an outdoor, I want to say birthday party, but I can't even remember if it was. Maybe someone graduated, like something happened. You know, all those weird, they all blend together, the weird celebrations and milestones that weren't
Yeah.
unique anymore. They were all some version of, like, a picnic. But we had a painting party one time in the backyard, and we had all the
Okay.
large canvases laid out, and the idea was that, you know, you would work on something and then you'd move on to the next one, and somebody might come in behind you and add some things to it and, you know, build on it. And so the group of us sort of went around working on these canvases. And the fact that that was a creative outlet that wasn't, that was social, like, it wasn't social
Yes.
because we were physically, like, doing it at the same time on the same canvas, but it was social in that it was happening as a group,
Oh, beautiful.
was
Yeah.
really important for me. And it made me realize how many, I think I said this before in the podcast, but how many of those needs that I have for myself, I can't always meet in
Yeah.
isolation.
Right. Yeah.
Certainly my physical health needs, my exercise needs, I can remember that we'd have an online class for exercise class.
Right.
And if one of my friends didn't show up, then sometimes I would turn off my camera and just lay on the floor while everybody did the exercise. No one holding me accountable. But then if one of my friends was there, then I would turn it on and then I would do the exercise class with everybody else. The act, as opposed to lying on the ground. But there that idea that the being seen, right? That we need
Yes.
seen, and we need people to say, I see you taking care of yourself. You're here for exercise. Good for you. Can make
Yeah.
a difference in our ability to do the things we need to do for ourselves, especially when we're caring for other people.
Oh my God, I can totally picture you laying on the floor.
Oh, well, none of my friends showed up.
You raise a good point in that during the pandemic, obviously there were times when we weren't so happy, and I remember times when I did feel locked in and closed down and just paralyzed by being shuttered, it felt like. And so just hearkening back to how did I keep my mindset buoyant? Like, what were some of the ways? And there's some practical ways. Like, my family laughs at me all the time because I'm always crocheting. And during the pandemic, I really picked up my crocheting game. And one of my friends sent me a picture of a crocheter who also went crazy, and everything was covered in crochet in their house, everything, their furniture, their pictures, their walls, everything. And I felt sometimes like that's what was happening. But in the end, I made some beautiful blankets that give people comfort, that make me happy, that are colorful, but more importantly, help me to keep busy. And so now I still, to this day, I always have some kind of crochet project going, and I find it tremendously soothing, which I didn't, I kind of ignored, before. Similarly, I really like plants now, and watching things grow really made my spirit feel good. And it was only during the pandemic that I actually started to grow my own herbs. Usually I would get seedlings, but now I know how to grow my own herbs. And every summer, as you know, Leslie, I have a wonderful herb garden that I really just gives me so much joy. But to see the life growing, to know that every year, every spring, I will see new growth, and then every fall things will go to sleep, or I get a chance to put them to sleep, also help keep the mind surprisingly open and active. Incredible how much plants have really give me energy back that I didn't know I needed, you know?
That's lovely, especially when I think about your current collection. I can really see that there's the power to give you back energy. We're not just talking one or two plants.
No, we're sadly.
So in
But
terms
what
of
did you,
buoyancy, yeah, what
what
helped
did you do?
buoy me up? Oof. I think walks. Walks, we were part of the collection of folks who were out walking in various combinations that were unexpected at unexpected times. Like, I remember seeing, families at on the lunch hour, right? Walking. You'd think that is because of the pandemic. Like, nobody's been out there walking before that on the lunch hour. Or, taking the teenager out for a stroll, like you'd take the dog out for a morning walk, like I know it's hard, I know, but that this sort of trying to figure out each of us what would make just a little bit of difference, just a tiny bit of difference, and then trying to do that, or embracing the idea that we didn't know what would make a difference, and saying, okay, let's run an experiment. What if every day this week we walked before you got online for school or whatever? Would that make a difference? And the idea that it was okay that we didn't know, that we were curious about trying something, that we didn't have to know in advance that it was going to work, and it was okay if we decided it didn't, right? That sort of the spirit of the scientific method as distilled down into our little microcosm of family life made a big difference. That ability to step outside the sort of internal churn and try and create meaning. And I think the other thing that buoyed us up was choosing things to do that required more time. So something I would never have done in the past would be like make pasta from scratch. I mean, even though it's the best like food on the planet, there's no way I would have done that. And we have some great pictures of like, the indoor clothesline having been, transported to the kitchen, and all this linguine hanging off and rolling it out, and things we would never have done without the time. So sort of, yeah, trying to find things that take time and implementing some of those so that it didn't feel like we had some kind of scarcity. I guess that, yeah, the buoyancy comes sort of flipping the narrative on the scarcity.
Absolutely. Oh, keep going. Oh, I love it.
But I'm thinking a lot about what happened when we didn't too, like when you're not buoyant and you're not able to flip the narrative, where you're not able to feel a sense of control or ownership over voices.
I will tell you that during the pandemic, the George Floyd murder really affected me and made me extremely jaded and aware of my otherness and difference. And I went down in the dumps there for a little bit. I wasn't by any means depressed, because I know what that feels like. But I was definitely feeling like the world was against me and my people. But me in particular, I took it personally, and it was an unreasonable reaction. I know that now, in the depth of the strength of it, not an unreasonable reaction in the reality of it, but you know. And I remember, do you remember when we had the George Floyd march right here in Ottawa?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you remember that, eh? And I remember first fighting with my son about it. He said he wanted to go down with his friends to the march, and I'm like, no, absolutely no way. You're going to get sick. No way. There are going to be police, and we just don't know how it's going to be. And I don't want you to go, because I'm really worried about your safety and your health. And he's like, well, you don't know what I'm going to do anyway, Mom. And I want to go, and I'm telling you. So I'm like, okay. First of all, he's being truthful. Secondly, he's right. So because of him saying he wanted to go down, I said, okay, I need to go down, even though I'm afraid of, first of all, getting sick. Secondly, of police action against us. And I've never done a march, and I don't know, you know, if that's going to be the right thing, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, I ended up going. And both me and my partner went together. And despite not wanting to go for very good logical reasons, there still was a part of me that would have gone if there was no pandemic, and support the cause. But I didn't realize what that meant until I got there. And so when we talk about like dipping into the well of resilience that we might have, or trying to go against our logical mind to do something that is ethically right and morally right, that really changed my mind. Change my mindset about what we can do collectively, and being amongst those people. So right down in front of Parliament Hill, all kinds of people came out. We were all masked up. It was all great. But all the different people, not just Black people, not just white people, every kind of people were around to say that Black Lives Matter. That entirely changed my mind about people being against me, or being rejected, or being not enough. Or it totally changed my mindset of feeling personally persecuted by what was going on around the George Floyd murder and all the rhetoric. And it turned it outward into, yes, what look we can do. So that one act of, don't listen to your logical mind here, Dan. You know what you really need to do. Not only because you're worried and want to protect your son, but because you're going to survive. It's going to be okay. You know, that was an amazing experience.
It's really profound to hear you reflect on it now. I remember some of
Yes. Yes.
the qualities of it that were life-giving, right? The like the profound care for one another, right? People made sure
Yes.
there was water, and
Yeah.
people's role was to tend the crowd, right?
Yes.
That expression. And I remember similarly thinking, like I wept. I remember the first time I went to one of the mass vaccination clinics. I couldn't
Wow.
believe that all these humans in this very difficult situation were managing to do this seemingly unbelievable task. And it did seem unbelievable because we had waited, and right, there had been no vaccines, and then we had waited and then trying to
Yes.
fight to get the Hunger Games to get your time slot and all that. And then I got there, and it was like beauty in how it unfolded. It was orderly.
Yeah.
It was caring. It was thinking about who might be coming that might be experiencing this differently. Right? That real public health model. Like, if we want everyone to
Right.
come, we have to prepare for everyone.
Everyone, yeah.
Oh, and to, and for, I don't know whether people could take all of that in the moment, but that really struck me. Like that real
Wow.
attention to, it's not just one person's experience where we have to plan for. We have to plan for all kinds of experiences. And I think that that's really stuck with me in planning for groups and in planning for clients now, where whether I know there's differences to be attended to or not, I prepare because lots of those best practices are good for all of us. The things that they did to prepare for everyone to come through that clinic were good for me too. I didn't even know I needed them.
Oh, wow. That was a strong visual of walking into that arena. Thank you for reminding me about that. And that all of those people were giving back to you and to us so that we could be healthy.
Yeah, I
Lovely.
remember maybe my second or third shot somewhere along the way. I was 10 days post-operative from knee surgery, and so I was hobbling, and boy was I ever grateful that they had thought some of those, things through around what if you can't, do the loop that goes, takes you all the way around and snakes back and goes like, what about the shortcuts? And and I didn't need as much help as they were able to offer, but the fact that they could offer it was just so caring. It made me, very comfortable knowing that the people who needed more could get more. Yeah.
You know, I re and now I remember there was something else that I remember that didn't work well. And that is staying inside all day. Like staying, there were a few days where I did not go outside, not even to step out on my front porch. And that made me super grumpy and bitchy and turn into the dark side. So one lesson that I learned about the pandemic is that I have to be outside every single day. And luckily I've got people like you in my life that like to go for walks, and I don't mind going for walks by myself, and I don't mind standing outside in my snow-filled backyard by myself, just taking the air in, reimagining my garden. Like every day I go outside, even if I don't put clothes on, like even if I just am still in my pajamas and I want to take a Sunday to cook and not do anything, I will go outside in my pajamas and my little slippers, stand on my front porch, just take a few breaths in. So important for the mental health, so important for the connection to nature that I never thought, never knew I really, really needed.
So maybe as we wrap up, maybe there's like five things or something we could sort of give a synopsis about, what sort of curiosity or creativity would we sort of go back to now in an emergency situation, that we're trying to hold on to every day. But if we had to go back to like a difficult, dig deep type moment, I think we're hearing a little bit about that connecting to the world that keeps on turning, right? The world keeps, things keep growing, things keep dying, the seasons change, like go out and be connected to that, as a way to stay in a mindset, right? That's not quite so insular. Maybe, yeah.
I think acknowledging and accepting our connection to other people and knowing that we need them, whether we know it or not, we need other human beings in our lives to actually live human lives is another one. Like, even if we don't think so, we still need that gas attendant to be there to take our money. We still need that nurse to give us our shot. And so if we, even if we don't want to be connected, we still are connected.
And then maybe the idea that if we're open to different ways of doing things, we'll probably stick with or try something that ends up surprising us and working in a way that we didn't know. So
I
that sort of, yeah, openness and
that
curiosity.
openness and curiosity, and it is that the openness and curiosity connected to what we truly value in this life that will get us through the times that are tough. Those two things seem to be seemed to me in my experience and my watching my family and you and I grow together as business partners as being open to things we never expected, and putting our own little creative spin is what makes us resilient.
And maybe I will close with one. I don't know that we really touched on this, but the idea that the actions of daily life, and maybe this is the connected to the standing outside and looking, but that, or the pasta cooking or whatever, but connecting in to the actions of daily life and not seeing them so much as a chore, but right, but as something meaningful to do. And I guess I'm thinking about that because one of the things that we instilled in our kids was activities of daily living. They had a list of chores every day, and they could choose from the list. It didn't matter to me which chore they did. Go clean something. I don't care what you clean. Go clean it. Find something dirty and clean it every day. Changing that into a positive. I can remember my youngest kid in a moment calling me in and saying, "Mom, you've just got to see how shiny the sink is." Right, the way the light was hitting, and he was just like just having a moment. It was so shiny. Seeing the chore activities of daily living as an opportunity to be present and sort of to be up the churn as opposed to that burden of the to-dos. I'm not sure I've hung on to that as closely as I'd like to now that we're back to all the busyness of life, but the value of those.
I like that. I like that. Well, thank you for exploring how we used our creativity and now how we use our creativity now, given all the lessons we learned from the pandemic, how that has helped us to keep our mindset in a certain direction and the direction we choose. It's always interesting to talk with you, Leslie, about things. Honestly, I could do a whole nother hour with you about this. But let's just leave it there.
Sounds great.